I do want everyone to feel comfortable. That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. He better not. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. Does anything make you feel more uncomfortable than some stranger going, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus? Yeah, I'd like you not to. Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
Kool-Aid. Hey,
Kool-Aid! Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid here, bringing you fun.
Clear away from the online marketing Kool-Aid bar.
Enjoy the refreshing, cool, crisp taste of proven business and marketing strategies. Tactics, trends, and techniques. The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl up.
Strategist Radio.
Let's shake that stanky thing for your Wednesday, 6:02 now on the West Coast, Strategist Radio Live. Aristotle once said, quality is not an act, it's a habit. While Bo Jackson said, set your goals high and don't stop till you get there. Tony Robbins once said, setting goals is the first step in turning the invisible to the visible. And Thomas Paine once said, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Day of May, 2015. That's right. Welcome to midweek. Today we're talking about the entrepreneur strategy because you asked for it. How to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate. From Harvard to Stanford, from Yale to Wharton, today, scholars are taught to recognize the value of learning to critically think, problem solve, and innovate. In fact, the top 100 U.S. companies practice these rudiments to help their organizations profitably compete within their specific market sector slash industry. Entrepreneurs must dynamically be able to acquire a core capability to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate in order to sustain a competitive advantage and maintain a healthy an evolving business. We'll talk about that on the program today, along with five body language secrets of successful people. We'll also check in with writing expert Rochelle Bayless, senior editor and content producer at Intuit. Talk about adding a little bit of flavor to your writing. And Neil Cabbage explores the opportunity blindness factor when it's right before your very eyes and you just don't see it. We'll fix that today on Strategist Radio Live. Welcome back from your Tuesday. Now we're doing the Wednesday show, and thanks so much for your support. I appreciate, when I say support, I mean your emails and your social media pings and your phone calls and your text messages each and every day. We get, you know, hundreds of emails each and every week, and I would love to be able to just zero in on everything that everybody writes from over 120 countries. But we can't. So we have 30 minutes to do this Monday through Friday from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time, right? West Coast time. And then we have to double up sometimes. And sometimes you'll notice I talk about two things now as opposed to one relative to things like entrepreneur strategy, business strategy, competitive strategy, marketing strategy, social media strategy. We talk about statistics and metrics. We talk about the trends. Yesterday on the program, we talked about things to look out for in the next 3 years relative to marketing. If you missed yesterday's program or any programs, live airings Monday through Friday, we turn the program into a podcast shortly after each live airing, and we make it available to you for free by simply visiting the hub at tjmoreno.com. Also, I want to say good morning to our amazing Inner Circle members. If you're not an Inner Circle member yet, let me tell you how to do that in a second. But first, let's say hello to Tim and Elizabeth and Tom and Stephanie. Good morning to John, Denise, Diane, Alina. Good morning to Sabrina, Dina, Karen. Hello to Shannon, Sarah, Carolyn, Caroline. Good morning to Charlotte. Hello to Sheila. Sean and Dr. Caroline Savage and their young entrepreneur son, Dante. Good morning to you. Also want to say good morning to Charlotte's amazing son, Grady. He's fabulous. Tracy, Lisa, Joe in Rome, Italy. Preston, good morning to Tiffany, Sylvie, Becky. Hello to Virginia. Yo hablo español. Mary, hello to Erica. Good morning to Ed, Patricia, Aria. Good morning to Kalara, Nicole, Tina, Dan, Dartha. Hello to Denise, Leanne, Harry, Bonnie, David, Frankie, Pam. Good morning to Tiffany. And good morning to our wonderful friends over at Rackspace, Joseph and the crew there, BMW USA, Amazon, Bezos and the Bunch there, Random House, Avon, the Mars Wrigley Company in Chicago. Want to also say good morning to Rita and Patty. And good morning to our hardworking friends up in Kirkland, Washington at Costco. Good morning. It's so wonderful to see you.
Yeah!
People new to the program are going, he can't see them. He can't. Oh, yes, I can. Technology.
Yeah!
Yes, I can. That's why we always tell you when listening to this program, be it live or podcast, never listen to the program naked because I can see. I can't see. I can't see you if you're naked and stuff. I can't see through your speakers. Although there have been people through the years that have actually written me, and they've actually said, you know, I'd rather you not look at me first thing in the morning. I look like crap. Well, at least wait till I have that first cup of coffee, and until I do, I'm turning the speakers away from
me. Yeah!
Okay, let's move along smartly because we've got a ton to talk about today on the program. Before we talk about how to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate, what about body language? That's a form of communication, right? And in some countries, you know, if you know how you take the finger and you be like, finger somebody over to you, going, can you come here? There are certain countries that would be like telling somebody to screw off. True story. There are different cultures, different things. You got to know this stuff, especially when you're dealing on an international scale. Even on your website, you got to be careful what you put up there. Some pictures are going to be offensive. You may think they're very cool, and in some cultures they may very well be, but there could be somebody out there that may be offended. And it's important to understand the different languages. So today I thought I would share with you, sent to us from our wonderful friends and colleagues over at Entrepreneur, particularly from Travis Bradbury. He's a co-author of Emotional Intelligence 2.0 and the president of Talent Smart. Talks about our bodies have a language of their own, and their words aren't always kind. Your body language has likely become an integral part of who you are to the point where you might not even think about it. If that's the case, Travis says, it's time to start because you could be sabotaging your career. Now, Talent Smart's company has tested more than a million people and found that upper echelons of top performance are filled with people who are high in emotional intelligence. EQ, right? EQ. 90% of top performers, to be exact. These people know the power that unspoken signals have in communication, and they monitor their own body language accordingly. Do you do that? Are you purposeful in what you think people might? I mean, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, you can't even cross the street. Grocery stores, retail stores, public. Cameras everywhere. You're being watched. So what is your body language saying? What about your, you know, you meet somebody for the first time. What is your body language saying? Well, here's some things you should not do. What follows are the 15 most common body language blunders that people make. And emotionally intelligent people are careful to avoid. So let's see where you fall here. All right, let's have some fun with this. Slouching. Slouching is a sign of disrespect. It communicates that you're bored and have no desire to be where you are. And you would never tell your boss, I don't understand why I have to listen to you. But if you slouch, you don't have to. Your body says it for you, loud and clear. Exaggerated gestures. This can imply that you're stretching the truth. So you want to aim for small, controlled gestures to indicate leadership and confidence, and open gestures like spreading your arms apart or showing the palms of your hands to communicate that you have nothing to hide. Okay, staring at the clock, that's another one. Watching the clock while talking to someone is a clear sign of disrespect, impatience, and inflated ego. Don't do that one. Turning yourself away from others or not leaning into your conversation. This portrays that you're unengaged, you're uninterested, you're uncomfortable, and perhaps even distrustful of the person speaking. Try leaning in towards the person. I didn't say climb up on their lap, but don't get in their comfort space, but lean towards them. Tilt your head slightly towards them. How about crossing the arms? We know about that one. Crossed arms to some degree are physical barriers that suggest you're not open to what the other person is saying. So even if folding your arms feels comfortable, resist the urge to do so if you want people to see you as open-minded and interested in what they have to say. The next one is inconsistency between your words and your facial expressions. This causes people to sense that something isn't right, and they begin to suspect that you're trying to deceive them, even if they don't know exactly why or how. So watch that one. Be consistent. How about exaggerated nodding when you look like a bobblehead? That signals anxiety about approval. People may perceive your heavy nods, the bobblehead, as an attempt to show you agree with or understand something that you actually don't. Next is fidgeting. With or fixing your hair signals that you're anxious, over-energized, self-conscious, and distracted. People are going to perceive you as overly concerned with your physical appearance and not concerned enough with the conversation or them. That's a fail. Avoiding eye contact, there's a big one. Makes it look like you have something to hide, and that arouses suspicion. Lack of eye contact can also indicate a lack of confidence and interest, which you never want to communicate in a business setting. Sustained eye contact, on the other hand, communicates confidence, leadership, and strength and intelligence. While it's possible to be engaged without direct, constant eye contact, complete negligence will clearly have negative effects on your relationships. Eye contact that is too intense. I got to watch that one. I mean, here I am, almost 6'2", Italian, dark features, the eyebrows, and if I look at somebody too intense, I mean, they get nervous. This can also be perceived as very aggressive or an attempt to dominate. On average, Americans hold eye contact for 7 to 10 seconds, longer when you're listening than when you're talking. Now, the way we break contact sends a message as well. Glancing down communicates submission, while looking to the side projects confidence. How about rolling your eyes? That's an obvious one. That's a fail-proof way to communicate lack of respect. Fortunately, while it may be a habit, it's voluntary. You can control it, and it's worth the effect. Scowling. You don't even know you're scowling something. You just look pissed off. Scowling or having a generally unhappy expression sends the message that you're upset by those around you, even if they have nothing to do with your mood. And scowls turn people away as they feel like you're judging them. So sometimes a little bit of a smile, a little, not an overly aggressive smirk, all right? Not a cocky little, but a nice little smile. Maybe show a little bit of the teeth. Maybe you're blinking. You're smiling with your eyes. And remember, we're listening with our eyes, too. Weak handshakes. There's another one. Shake somebody's hand. You've done this before, and they feel like a wet fish. Weak handshakes signal that you lack authority and confidence, while a handshake that is too strong can be perceived as aggressive an attempt at dominating the conversation or the circumstances, which is also bad. Be comfortable. Clenching the fist, there's another bad one. Much like crossed arms and legs can signal that you're not open to other people's points. And this one is getting too close. Finally, getting too close, getting in their face, getting in their comfort zone. If you stand too close to someone, nearer than 1.5 feet usually, it signals that you have no respect for or understand that individual's personal space. This will make people feel very awkward when you're around them, and that is also a fail. So there's some ideas for you in how to communicate more effectively. I want to thank our friends over at Entrepreneur, particularly Travis Bradbury, co-author of Emotional Intelligence 2.0, and the president at Talent Smart.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio 616 now for your Wednesday morning. Here's on what's tap on tap for the following days remaining in this week. That's a weird way of saying it, Marino. You get my drift. Tomorrow on the program, Entrepreneur Strategy. We're going to talk about the archetype of an awesome brand. That's for Thursday. And for Friday this week, we'll round things off in our short week with Book Marketing Strategy. 5 steps to a successful book launch. All ahead, get all the rest of the details on the hub at tjmarino.com. And if you haven't signed up for the Inner Circle yet, please do. It's absolutely free. Again, get all the details on the hub at tjmarino.com. They're for you. All right, so let's add a hint of flavor to your writing. You got to be concise. You don't want to be boring. Here's some tips provided by our good friend, Rochelle Bayless. She's a senior editor and content producer at Intuit, talking about adding a little flavor to your writing.
Being concise and to the point is a good thing usually, but you also run the risk of being boring. So a couple people can get away with this, like Wikipedia or the IRS website. People expect those to be dry and factual. But for the most part, people read things on the internet, like emails or articles, editorials, Facebook posts, because they want flavor. The moment a reader realizes that your writing has no spark, they're going to move on. You wouldn't expect somebody to continue eating bland food in the same way you shouldn't expect them to force down your dry copy, especially if they don't know how it's going to benefit them. If you want someone to eat up your copy, you really need it to be flavorful. So whether it's humor, playfulness, shock, assertiveness, authority, curiosity, whatever it is, you need to develop a tone or a personality or even an edge to your voice. This doesn't mean that you need to speak to them in the first person as if you're talking directly to the reader. It just means that you have to develop a colloquial tone and build a rapport with the reader as if they're hearing something from an actual person. Now again, this voice can be a voice of authority or it can be playful, but the most important thing is that it has flavor. So as you can see here with this really interesting email from Urban Daddy, the first line itself is obviously extremely eye-catching and really grabs your attention. And then as the email goes on, it starts to describe things a little bit, and then it pauses itself and it says, "Screw it, forget all that. This copy is telling you that it has a respect for your time and doesn't want to waste it anymore." And yet still manage to describe products that sound enticing. ModCloth is a really great example. So obviously this title is really clever. It's playing off of the "So Fresh and So Clean" lyric from an Outkast song. The story that they tell behind this dress actually causes you to envision yourself wearing this dress as if you already own it. Even at the end there, it talks about you feeling a promotion coming just as a result of the awesome energy you feel wearing this dress. This type of copywriting, where you're telling a story of this product rather than just presenting it as a product itself, is not only really playful and fun and whimsical, it's actually extremely effective. So now that you've seen some examples, you can see how adding flavor to copy can really make it more compelling for the reader to read and to act on.
Strategist Radio.
Oh, just about 6:19 for our Wednesday morning. How are you? How's everything going? Hey, let me know if you got some issues within your biz, something not flowing the way you'd like it to. Maybe your profitability is not as amazing as you once thought it should be. Let me know. Send me an email. Say, hey, Moreno, what's going on over here? Support at tjmoreno.com. Send me an email. We can talk about it on the program. If you need me to get a hold of you, contact the hub at support at tjmoreno.com. And if we're not hooked up on social media yet, why not? We've made a redirect for you on Twitter. It's just simply twitter.com/TonyMoreno. Or we could make it even easier and go to tjmoreno.com/Twitter. On G+, tjmoreno.com/g in the plus sign. And on LinkedIn, business to business, tjmoreno.com/LinkedIn. Let's get connected and tell your friends, tell the colleagues, come sample the program. Let's grow this thing. If you like the program, give me a plus one. Send me a comment. I'd love to hear from you. And for those of you that do, you are amazing. Amazing. Badass. All right. So before we talk about how to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate, let's check in with Neil Cabbage. He explores research studies around intention or inattention blindness, I should say. This is where the opportunity may be right there in front of you, and you just don't see it. Sometimes these opportunities happen quick and you got to hop through the little window, the little portal. Neil shares about how to overcome, how to recognize and overcome opportunity blindness.
It can be tempting to set aside market research and talking to customers when it comes to building a product. There's just so much work that needs to be done, and so much of the hard skill work is quantifiable and you know when it's going to be done. It's so much easier to prioritize that than something that you don't know what the outcome is going to be or when it will be done. More than one product manager has been tempted with this and focused on things such as project management or more requirements analysis. But remember, your goal as a product manager is to deliver the right product, not simply to deliver one. In a 1998 research study, Daniel Simmons asked a number of participants to count how many times a ball walked through the room, pounded his chest, and walked back out. After asking the participants how many times the ball was dribbled, he then asked them, "Did you see the gorilla?" And believe it or not, more than half the people didn't. In a follow-up study, Richard Wiseman asked his participants to count how many times an image appeared in the newspaper. The participants had 2 minutes to go through and count, and most of the people used the full amount of time. They would count, review, count again. But there were a couple of people that knew the answer within seconds. How did they know? Well, it turns out there was a quarter-page ad on page two that said, "Stop counting, the answer is 43. Go collect your $250 reward." These studies demonstrate a principle called inattention blindness, or as I like to call it, opportunity blindness. Remember that your job as a product manager or as a startup founder is to create the right product. It doesn't matter how quickly you create the product if nobody's going to use it. So remember to take a step back, focus on talking to customers, understand what the market really wants, and then set a success trajectory rather than focusing entirely on velocity.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio, Wednesday morning, 6:23 right now. Let's talk a little bit about entrepreneur strategy and how to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate. You in? Innovation is key. Otherwise, if you're sleeping at the wheel, forget about it. You always got to be evolving. You've got to be researching, scanning the environment, continually learning, watching the market, listening carefully, surveying and polling and analyzing. So how can we become better thinkers, innovators, and problem solvers? Well, first of all, there's a book out called Selfish, Scared, and Stupid. Behavioral strategists Dan Gregory and Kieran Flanagan put the book together, and it teaches people in business how to become better thinkers, innovators, and problem solvers. In fact, right now in my doctoral studies, we're focusing on the different types of innovation strategies. So first of all, here's some quick ones for you. Number one, ideas are a numbers game. When brainstorming, you want the numbers on your side. This is the secret to the best creative and problem-solving minds on the planet. You have to generate enough options to get the obvious thinking out of the way. like repetitions at the gym. You need to push through the easy stuff and get to the difficult stuff for those best results. So your first ideas are obvious and thus first level thinking. Then you need to go deeper to find those flakes of gold. You must go beyond that first level of thinking in order to discover unseen ideas. A little bit of what Neil Cabbage was talking about a couple of moments ago relative to opportunity blindness. Another concept is to think in questions. This is where you train your brain to think in questions, not statements. The problem with statements is that they presuppose a solution and can stop you from coming up with an innovative solutions. Questions, in contrast, what do? They open up the solutions. So asking for, say, a shelf sticker that draws attention to a product is very different from the question of how to increase noticeability at the shelf. It leads to different solutions. Now, the first gives you exactly what you asked for, but the latter could lead to breakthrough ideas. For example, maybe it's not about the sticker. Maybe it's about new packaging designs. Maybe it's a revolutionary product design. Maybe it's sound-activated point of sale. Could be even multiple products in new flavors, depending on the product or service. Next, don't come up with ideas. Come up with solutions. See, you need a problem to solve first, right? One of the biggest problems we find is that people say, well, I need a great idea. And then they wonder why they can't think of anything. Well, we never come up with a great idea in our combined 30 years in our firm. But we come up with a huge number of innovative solutions. See, ideas solve problems, even those the market is unconscious of. And if you have not defined a problem, chances are you will not miraculously have any ideas that are useful. So spend time looking for problems that need solving rather than trying to think differently about nothing in particular. Next, you've got to back yourself into a corner. Now, the tighter the corner, the more creative you seem to get. So much so that creative people have a mantra, which means grant me the freedom of a tight brief. The brain seems to work better under duress. Perhaps our survival instincts kick in, and adrenaline fuels us to find out why. And finally, collide ideas and thinking. Now, your ability to think different is crucial. A great way to do this is to get different inputs and inspirations from different people, different places, industries, and systems. If you want to become an agile thinker, you have to learn beyond your own role. You have to read a lot. You have to be interested in everything and look to other industries to see what's going on. There's that scanning the environment again. The most successful patents often combine thinking or tech from different industries. A new product design can be as simple as colliding thinking. All right, so ready to start getting those muscles working to expertly think, problem solve, and innovate. Time to make your move. All right, put it to action. All right, that's a wrap for today. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your Wednesday. It's so wonderful to see you again. I love you very much. Please go out and love somebody today. Tomorrow on the program for our Thursday, marketing strategy, and we'll talk about the archetype of an awesome brand. Don't miss tomorrow's program. Make it a great rest of your Wednesday. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.